Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Aleph today of Tanis, and today's Daf is sponsored by Barry Pizer on the occasion of the website of her mother, Golda Chaya Bat Gershon, Zichron LeBracha. So learning is Lelud Hasham of Golda Chaya Bat Gershon, Zichron LeBracha. All right, so I'm beginning on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where we got to the third line. Everybody with me? So Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Kolamari Vasmo, Bishni Ravon, Nisal Mimita Mishuna. If a person starves himself during time of famine, it means I just subsist. It means everybody is like really starving because it's a famine. But let's say I have a lot of food, you know, I'm wealthy or whatever I got a lot of food, but on Mari Vatsmo, I just try to get along with the minimum because everybody else is starving. So he's Nitzal Mimita Mishuna, a person saved from Mita Mishuna. So Rashi explains, you know, in Yiddish is an expression, I hope you're listening to this, Ruth, and in Yiddish is an expression like a Misa Mishuna. It means a horrible death. But Rashi here defines it. If you look on the sixth narrow line in Rashi, Mita Mishuna, Meit Becherev, a person dies by the sword. And it's like you don't die in your bed peacefully, is a Mita Mishuna. So Mita Mishuna, Meit Becherev, Uvarav, or he dies as a result of famine. He says, V'chol Mita She'ena Biyad Malach HaMavet, K'derek Kol Adam, Amita Tov. If you don't die, like the natural death, that's Mita Mishuna. So back in the Gemara, on the fifth line, Shinemar Rav Parfami Mavet. The Pasuk in Eob says, in famine, he saved you from death. So the Gemara says, Meirabi Barlei. So there's a difficulty in the Pasuk. I would expect the Pasuk to say, Meirav Parchamimavet, that Hashem saved you from famine, from death. That's what I would expect the Pasuk, but it doesn't say that. This is Birav Parchamimavet. Elahachi Kamar, so the Gemara darshens the Pasuk as follows, B'sachar Shemarivatsmo B'shnei Ra'avon. In other words, Birav is like B'shnei Ra'avon. In reward for a person starving himself voluntarily, b'shnei ra'avon, nitzal mimita mishuna. In other words, so the ra'av parchami mavet. So in other words, you're starving yourself during the years of ra'avon, so parchami mavet. Then Hashem saves you from mita mishunam. That's the drasha. All right, let me do a few more lines and then I will pause. So Amar Reish Lakish, asuli dam l'shemesh mitzo b'shnei ra'avon, that a person is not allowed to have relations with his wife during years of famine. Shinemar, Uli Yosef Yulad Shnevanim, Eterim Tiboshanad Rav, that Yosef had two sons, before the time of the famine. So why does the Torah emphasize that he had the two sons before the time of the famine? Because if Lu Yatsur, the implication being that had it been a time of famine, he would not have had relations with his wife. Let's take a look at the post, folks. The top Tosfos, upper left-hand corner. Bim Tomar, Hare Yochev and Olda Ben Achomot. He says, V'toah 8 Rav Hayah. So Tosfos is asking, so we know that Yochev, the daughter of Levi, was born between the Chomot when they got to Mitzrayim. And that was the time of famine when they came down. He says, V'al Korcha, contributing to B'shnei Ravon. So you see, they were having relations, even though it was a famine. So we said he's not allowed to, and we said they did. So Tosfos says, what the Gemara is just trying to say is like it's an act of piety not to have relations during time of Ravon. Yosef lo shimesh, Yosef was in that level. Other people were mishamesh. That's what Tosfos says. Now, I was listening to Rabbi Ari Leibowitz today. He was talking, and he is also mentions by Yitzchak. It says Yitzchak goes down to Abimelech, Melech Plishtim, and it says by Hiki Archulush Mayamim, by Eshkef Abimelech, Yarach alone, Bine Yitzchak Mitzachek Ribka Ishto. That Abimelech texts that Yitzchak is having relations with his wife, and that was a time of famine. So the question is, how could Yitzchak have relations with his wife during a time of famine? So one way to say, there were different answers to this, but one answer is you could say, it says, Vayihi Archu L'Sham Yamim, that maybe there wasn't a famine at that point in time. In other words, initially there was a famine, but Vayihi Archu L'Sham Yamim was a lengthy period of time. And then another pshat that Rabbi Leibowitz said is that you're only allowed, or you're only obligated to abstain from our relations if Jews are in a state of famine. In other words, so Yosef was in Egypt, but he knew that his father was in a state of famine. And that's why he would have abstained from having relations. Now, the Now, another question that's asked is, I saw this in the Masechta Gemara. He asked like this. Let's say, it says that Yosef had the two sons before, when Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, around line six. Yosef had the two sons before the years of Ravon. But let's say we're going to see in a minute, that the next line of the Gemara is going to say that if you haven't had children, then you could have relations, even though it's Shnat Ravon. So Mela, why did Yosef have to have the kids before the famine? And it was, even if it had been famine, he would have had a heter. I don't remember what the Nitziv says, but I saw that question in the Masechta. All right, let me just take a look. Let me just do a few more lines. All right. What? Yeah, you can get married. Actually, let me just go through the halacha right now. He says in Sifrei's Orach Chaim, okay, top of Bayin Dalet. Wait. Top of my Dalet Sif Dalet. Yeah. So here's what the Machaber says. He says, Mitzvah Lahari, Iva Damatzmo, Bishnat Ravon. It's a mitzvah to abstain from food, you know, to have just the minimum amount of food if it's a year of famine. He says, Va'astrul Shmeshmi to chutz min leil tzvila. A person's not allowed to have relations with his wife except if it's leil tzvila, the night that she goes to the mikvah. But that's the way the Machaber brings it down. He says, Now, if you're trying to have children, so then you could. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz was just talking about, he was quoting from Rabbi Asher Weiss, that Rabbi Asher was saying that, you know, during a time of war, then maybe you should not have relations. Like I think that Rav Asher Weiss, I don't know if he was talking about the Yom Kippur War or whatever, but, you know, that people shouldn't have relations if there's a time of war. It's interesting because I believe in Israel there was like a bump in people who had children 9 months after the Yom Kippur War. I think people, you know, like they came back from the field of battle and they definitely wanted to have, you know, relations with the wife. But it's interesting, you know, in the Navi, I was thinking with David HaMelech and Uriah HaChiti. So if you remember that Uriah HaChiti is involved with a war and he comes back from battle and David HaMelech, you know, had relations with Bathsheba and then he wanted Uriah to, who was the husband, to have relations with Bathsheba. So he says, why don't you go to your wife? And Uriah says, how can I go to my wife when the soldiers are in the field of battle? It's like not like pasnished. All right, let me just do a few more lines and then I'll pause and I'll open up the floor to all the questions and comments and thoughts, okay? So the Gemara says, we're around line 10. So we said that if everybody's in a state of shy this view, in other words, if everybody's in a state of sa'ar, like ra'avon, famine, and the person has a lot of food personally, he shouldn't overindulge in food because he should, like, and then similarly, a person shouldn't have relations with his wife during years of famine, though we said, Machaber says that if it's leil tefila, you could. And Tana taught in a brisa, chasuch tevan misham shemit tevan b'shnei ravon. If a person was never mekayim the mitzvah of piri verivia, in other words, he's lacking sons, then he can have relations in the shnat ravon. All right. Now, the Gemara says Tana rabbanu. They're in the brisa. Zman shi yisrael shruim b'tzar. If the Jewish people are in a state of tzar, a state of distress, and one says, you know, I don't care. I'm playing golf, whatever. Two malachim that escort a person come. They put their hands on his head. And they say, that this Ploni who separated himself from the Tzibur, he shouldn't see the comfort of the Tzibur. All right? Tani Idak, another Baraisa, Bisman Shat Sibur Shru Bitsa'ar, when the Tibor is in a state of distress, Agimar Adam, Elech Tabeti, a person shouldn't say, I'm going home, V'ochal V'eshte, I'll eat, I'll drink, V'shalom Malayach Nafshi, and then my soul will be fine. In other words, I don't want to know from this whole thing. V'mosekhein, Alav Ktuv Omer, and if he does that, and we're two lines above where it gets wide on Yud Aleph Omer Aleph, if he does that, the Pasuk says concerning him, and now the Gemara quotes a Pasuk from Yeshaya, Vinei Sasto Mismcha Harog Bakar Shotzon. In other words, the Navi is describing people who are like sinning, but they're happy. They say, let's shech meat and chol basar shtot yayin. We want to eat meat and drink wine. Achol b'shato kimachar namut. We have to eat and drink because tomorrow we will die. It's a famous line, but now you know the story, you have the source here. So makti batre, if a person has that attitude, says negla b'oznai, it will be revealed to my ears, Hashem is speaking, Hashem svakod, in yukupar bonos alachem atimuton, if your aveiru will be expunged to the day of your death. Then the Gemara says, adkan midat benonim. This is the Brisa. The Brisa says that's like your garden variety Rasha, like a garden variety Rasha. So in other words, he does say, you know, ki machar namud, tomorrow we'll die. So he recognizes that there's like an impending, you know, something's going to happen. But he's a Rasha. Of a midat rishayim, but a more Rasha mativ. Etayu echayayim nispa shechar. I'm going to take wine, become inebriated from shechar, the older wine. Vayak hazeh yomachar, and tomorrow will be the same day. And the pasuk says, gadol yeter ma'od. It'll be even happier tomorrow. Makti batrei, what does it say after that? Atzadik avad, that the tzadik will die. In ish samalev, nobody's going to pay attention. Kibnei ra'an es safat tzadik. Because the ra'ah, the tzadik died. So it means either that the tzadik shouldn't see like the impending catastrophe. That's one shot. He says, or lishnach rina, let's look in Rashi. He says, atzadik avad v'inish samalev, in the Rashi to the right. Neima hu made, why does the tzadik die? Nei ha-ro'ah ha-ne'asaf, in other words, because the upcoming, you know, disaster that's going to strike. Ha-tzadik, excuse me, if they ha-ro'ah ha-ne'asaf ha-tzadik, nei shlo yitzta'er hu barah, he shouldn't become distressed with the evil. So, you know, some people want to say, I think that, like, before World War II, how like a number of Dolim passed away, like the Chafetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Ozer passed away at the very beginning of the war. He says, maybe for this, I don't know. Lishnach Rina, Nei Ra'ot Shel Elu Hun Esaf, or otherwise you could say, because he's dying then because of these people. Shem Kesh Baruch Hu says, Shebakesh Leikam Rachamim. Shem doesn't want the Tzadik around to be Bakesh Rachamim. So anyway, I think some people do say that before World War II, some Tzadikim died, and presumably would be for these reasons. Back in the Gemara on line 5, El Yitzayir Adam Matzibur, a person should, everybody unmute, a person should, you know, experience distress, and somebody's not muted, let me help you. Okay. So a person should be distressed with the Tzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu, he put himself in distress with the Tzibur. Shnemar, it says by when they were fighting with Amalek. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu's arms were heavy. They put a stone underneath him so he should sit. Didn't he have like a pillow or a cushion to sit on? He says, Ella Kachamar Moshe, Hovi Shushun Bitsar, since the Jewish people are in a state of Tsar. Fern, we're on the eighth wide line of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Hol v'yisroshim b'tzar, afani yemehem b'tzar. So I'm going to be also experiencing tzar. He says, okay, now.
Question.
Just 1 minute, just waiting. You're almost there. Okay, Ruth. Okay, remember, I'm going to pause just shortly. Okay, just chill out for 1 minute, okay? Now, whoever afflicts himself together with the tzibur, zocha to see like with the comfort when things are improved. All right, let me just say a story, and I'll come to you in a minute, Ruth. The story from the Chafetz Chaim, and then another story from Chaim Soloveitchik. So in this sefer, this is from the Yalkut Lech HaTov in Parshat Va'era. He says in the sefer Chafetz Chaim from Rabbi Yashar, it says, it describes Chafetz Chaim during the First World War in 1914. And, you know, during the First World War, Yeshiva in Radin, they had to, you know, like go from place to place. So he says, if you would look at the Chafetz Chaim during this period of time, so it gave meaning to the sentence Hatzadiku Libo Shel Olam. Tzadik like reflects Libo Shel Olam. It means he reflects what everybody's feeling. He says his in other words, his face, which normally looked more youthful, suddenly aged, and there was like on his wrinkles was like the burdens of the world, and everything he did was filled with tsar, like all of his Avarim were feeling it. And then he in other words, Jews were being chased from place to place and killed. So one of the nights, his wife, the Chafetz Chaim, woke up from her sleep, and to her shock, she sees that her husband's not in bed. So she went to look for him, and she finds him sleeping on the bench and his hands underneath his head. So in response to his question, why did he leave the bed? Why is he sleeping on this hard bench? So he answered, you know, Achinu ben Israel, our fellow Jews, are refugees going like in the streets, and they're suffering from hunger and cold, and the young boys are in these trenches in the war, and they're facing, you know, death. He says, how can I sleep in my bed, you know, peacefully and quietly when all that's going on? Same idea what we said. And then he quotes a story from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and this is from, he's supposed to say from our Bitzi Torah Musar. He says, now he's talking about there was a big fire in Brisk in 1895. Brisk was where Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was the rabbi. He had been a Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, and then by 1895, the Volozhin Yeshiva had closed already. He was a rabbi in Brisk, where his father was a rabbi there as well. So it says that if the person didn't see like how involved he was to help the Jews in Brisk, after the terrible fire, they never saw Rachamim like that. Reb Chaim didn't rest 1 minute, day and night. He was putting all of his efforts to help all the families of those who had been, turned out because of the fire. And he says all those days after the fire, he wouldn't sleep in his house. He would go to the corridor. It says that the corridor was like a slanting corridor in the shul, and he slept there on the floor. And all the pleadings of his family to sleep in his bed were not effective. He said, I can't. How can I sleep in my bed when all the Jews don't have a roof over their head? Anyway, so the idea is that there's an Indian, like sometimes, you know, even if you can't do anything, you know, you have to be sensitive to everybody's distress. Okay, Ruth, you've been patient. Let me hear from you, Ruth. What do you got? Ruth?
Going early, early. You hear me? Can you hear me?
I hear
so
you.
So early in the daf, you, the idea of there during Muhammad, there shouldn't be men and they shouldn't be relations, during famine and so on. There was, it's a machlokes because earlier we learned that if during war, if a chassan is inducted into the army, he's not chayev to be there for a full year because he's supposed to be home and keeping his wife happy. Remember that?
Yes. So actually, the Gemara distinguishes between a milchemes reshus and milchemet mitzvah, or a milchemet mitzvah and milchemet chova. In other words, a chasan has a patur, but if it's milchemet chova, afilu, you know, chatan mechupato, bechala mechupato. The Gemara says that even a chasan has to go to war. So it depends on the type of war. Is it a war to defend Eretz Israel or an expansive war? So it's not 100% the way you're saying it. In other words, there are wars that we pull the chasan out and he goes to war. But anyway, but in terms of having relations during the war, that wasn't explicit in the Gemara. That was something that Rabbi Leibowitz had mentioned, the name of Rabbi Asher Weiss. He was questioning whether a person should have relations during a war. So I'm not my Korea so much one way or the other. But our emotion, let me hear. Our emotion.
No, just going to say during the Mabul, the three punishments for having relations was the raven, right? The raven, the dog, and Cham.
In other words, because the whole world was in a state of destruction, so they didn't want to have relations.
Cham's punishment, he was black, right?
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Well, again, it's talking like when Klal Yisrael is in the state of Tsar. I don't know if the Tsar is so great right now, But you have to talk to a Rav about this. I haven't heard anybody doing that right now during this period of time. But, you know, you talk to a Rav. I mean, so many people were dying from the COVID-19. So I don't know. It's a horror. It's a horror.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. So Rafi was thinking that now, because people are suffering from COVID-19, that people should hold back in some way. All right. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Right.
Well, that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said that if a person, you know, is chasuch evanim, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah period of Arivia, then he gets an exception, but that would be exception. And then the Mechaber said, if it's Leil Tzvila, he should also do it that way, but it means you're cutting back. Okay, now let's go back. I'm going back to the Gemara. Everybody mute themselves, okay? If you're not muted, Aaron Moshe, please mute yourself. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. So we're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, so we're at the asterisk, around the eighth very wide line. Okay, B'shem Yomar Adam, this is a continuation of the Braisa. B'shem Yomar Adam, Mime Idmi. So let's say a person says, who knows what I do in the privacy of my home? Nobody knows what I'm doing. So I'm doing my own thing. If I eat, whatever, I have relations with my wife, you know. But he says, so the Gemara says, Avnei Beito Shel Adam, that the stones and the walls of the house, the korot beito shel adam, the beams of the house, me'idimbo, give testimony against the person. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes pasuk from Chabakuk, he even nikir tzak, that a stone from the wall will cry out, and it's like the stone of the house. The kafis me'etz yanenem, and kafis is like the half brick me'etz. Rashi says that like they would have, you know, wooden walls, and then but they'd put like a half brick in between the walls that will all respond. So they've got stone and then they've got half brick and they're all talking. So the idea is, and let me just, the idea is that, you know, it's a little bit like in science, there's something dendrochronology. Dendrochronology is like you could look at a piece of wood and you see from the lines like what year it was. Like they do in archaeology, if they find a ship and they have the wood in the ship, they could tell you with precision exactly what year the wood was cut because they know all the seasons. Shai is still with us. They knew all the seasons. So in the same way, there's dendrochronology. So the Gemara is saying that the walls of the house, the beams in the house, see and know what's going on, and they're gonna testify against you. Let's see further in the Gemara. He says, the Beit Rabbi Shila Amri, the son of Beit Rabbi Shila, Shnei Malachim Yeshar Malavim Lo Liadam Himi Idalav. The two Malachim that escort a person who will give testimony against him. Shenemar ki malcha bitzavalah. Rabbi Chitka omer, nishmato shel adam hi me'ilav. Rabbi Chitka said that a person's neshama will give edus against him. Shenemar, mi shochevet chekecha shemor pitchekicha. V'yeshomrim evarav shel adam me'inabo. His evarim will give testimony. Shenemar atem idayin um Hashem. Now, with all of this, it's a little bit like, you know, like years ago, I leased a car and I took a trip with a friend to Vermont. And when I came back to return the car, they were really inspecting the car and see, you know, was there any scratch or anything, this, that, the other. So that's the same thing with the Aveirot. Like a person is granted this neshama, the neshama is pure. But then every time you do Aveirot, it's creating a pagam in the neshama. So then Latilavo, they're looking at the neshama and say, what happened? What happened to this neshama? How come it's got so much damage for this and the other? So it's like that's the edus that's against you. Now, the Rav Leibowitz was quoting from a Sefer Mari Cohen, and he said, the Mari Cohen said, who are the edim against the person? So the Gemara, like, connects it to the Gemara that says that if a person has a mezuzah on his door and tefillin, and he's wearing tefillin, and he's got tzitzis, he's surrounded, and those are the malachim, and those are the edus. So he said that the korot beitom and the avne beitom, that's the mezuzah. Like, the mezuzah will give testimony against you. Then he says, when the neshama, that's the tefillin shel rosh, and the evarim, that's the tefillin shel yad, and then there's one more here. What's the one I'm missing here? What we do here? There's one more. One second. The Beit Hashalom we did. And then we had Neshama we did. And then the Evarim we did. Anyway, there's one more. He said that was, I thought his, like, I don't know. And then that's what the Tzitzis is, one more. So one is the Evarim, one's the Neshama, one's the Avni Beitom. But I don't know. Anyway, the Tzitzis also. All right, let me go on. Anyway, Kelem Unavinado. So now the Gemara continues on. This is from the Braisa. It says, Kelem Unavinado is a faithful God and there's no wrong with him. Just like they'll punish Rishayim in the future, even for a minor Avera, Shosin, so too, in this world, they take punishment from a tzaddik for Avera that he does. So it means it's like the Braisa here is addressing, you know, the issue of like tzaddik baralo. In other words, how come we get tzaddikim, they get bad things happening, Rishayim tovlo? So the Gemara is saying, tzaddikim getting punished in this world and getting total reward in the next world. The Rishayim, they're getting their punishment in the next world, so they get the benefit in this world. The Ein Avel, Shem Shemesham and Sachar and Tzaddikim, Lalam Abba, there's no iniquity with Hashem. Just like the tzaddik gets his whole reward in the next world, Afilu Mitzvah Kala Sha'osin, Sham and Sachar Rishayim, Lalam Azah, Afilu Mitzvah Kala Sha'osin. So in this world, the Rishayim get rewarded, like, you know, they did, you know, like three mitzvahs or whatever, they get rewarded for that. Okay, tzaddik yasharhu, he's tzaddik and upright. So the Gemara says, and now here, it's either melamed shibashat or amrubishat through shaladam, the beit olamo, at a time when a person, you know, is not conscious, your passes away, kol ma'asav nifratin lefanav. All of his actions during his life are specified in front of him. In other words, I don't know, there's like a listing of everything he did. I mean, it's nifrat lefanav. And they say in Shemayim, kach v'kach asita makom ploni b'yom ploni. This is what you did on this day, on this location. V'hu omer hein. And he says, he's forced to say, yeah, that's exactly the way it occurred. V'omrim lo chatom. They ask him to sign, like, sign your name here. V'chotein. And he signs. He says, shenemar b'yad kol adam yachtom. He says, like with everyone's hand, he'll seal. It's a little bit like Tana Toke, you know, B'chotam Yad B'landam Po. He says, B'lo'od El Shemastik Kalavad Adin. Not only that, but each person, he accepts the din that's given in Shemayim. B'omer Lahem Yafed Dantuni. You know, it was, you did proper. It was everything with tzedek. B'kayim HaShinemar L'man Titzdak B'dvarecha. That you'll be tzedek B'dvarecha. In other words, Rashi learns 10 lines from the bottom, Man Tistak Bidvarecha, Shumatzik Alav Bidvarecha. In other words, the person, is like Matzik and Din, he accepts that that's correct what was done, Bidvarecha, with your words, meaning Hashem's words, Shatam Moreva, that you show it to him. All right, let's take a look. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Rafi?
Yeah, I got you.
Well, 1 second, our emotion, I got Rafi, then I'll get you one. What's up? No. Avera is a shidduch between the neshama and the guf. That's the avera. Oh, yeah. But now the guf dies. Now there's no more guf. Now it's just the neshama. So yeah, but the neshama looks like a mess now because of all the avera. Yeah, but that guf is dead. Now the neshama is going back. So that's what we got left now, right? There's no guf. So I mean, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, like Tidlavo Hashem will bring the goof and the neshama, you know, and judge them. It's like the Gemara gives mashal, like a blind person and a lame person, that they get together to steal fruit. And so the blind person is supporting the lame person on the tree, and he's taking it. So they put them both together and give the malachot together. But the idea is that with the Aveirot impact on the neshama. That's what I'm saying. That like the neshama should have the tahori. In other words, the neshama, you could put him, he was tahor, but then through the Aveirot, it doesn't become so tahor. Okay, our emotion would have gotten very quickly. I'm running out of time.
Two things. One thing, I think what you were referring to is when somebody speaks Lashon Hara. So the three things is the clothing, the actual body, the clothing, and the house. That's the mezuzah.
Yeah, well, that's by Tzaraas. So the Gemara learned
that's by Tzaraas. That's what these three things are referring to.
Right. The Rambam says first Saraz goes into the Bayit, then if it doesn't do tshuva, goes in the Bayit, doesn't do tshuva, it gets in the body.
Yeah, so that's the tzitzis and the tefillin that goes on your hand, on the body. Right. The tzitzis is the clothing, and the bias is the mezuzah. The other thing is, I think in Tilim, this it's Laman Titztach Vidvarecha, Tischer Vishavtecha. It's a pasuk in Tilim.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's take it further. All right. Now, let's get back in the Gemara. Okay, so we're 8 lines from the bottom on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Shmuel, well, Yoshev Betani Dikrachote. So Shmuel says, Yoshev is to sit, but it means like he's observing a fast. Whoever observes a fast, he's called a sinner. So the Gemara says, so the Bach has here, so he says here, Savar Ki Haitana. That he, Shmuel, held like the following Tana. Shmuel's an Amor, but he holds like the following Tana. The Tanya, Reb Lazar Kapar, Berebi Omer, so Kapar, Berebi is the Gadol Ador. He says, Ma Tamal Omar, but Chiper La Me'a Shrechet El Anafesh. So it's talking about a Nazir who becomes Tamei, so he has to bring Korban out, and Chiper La Me'a Shrechet El Anafesh. He'll bring atonement for that which he sinned. Bechibe Ezen Nefesh Chata, what was his sin? Bechibe Ezen Nefesh Chata Zem, El Shtirat Momen Ayayim. He afflicted himself from not having wine. He says, the Nazir, who only abstained from wine, is called a sinner. A person abstains from all different things, so he's called a chote. That's the way Reb Lazar Berebi holds. Reb Lazar Kapar Berebi holds. Now, the only thing is that this pasuk is by Nazir who violated his term of Nazirus by becoming Tamei. So the Gemara asked that in Masechet Nedarim, Masechet Nazir, and this I think was in the Masechta Gemara, and Rabbi Leibowitz also quoted it. The Gemara says that it's like a Kal v'chomer. In other words, in a Chinami, every Nazir is a sinner according to Reb Lazar HaKapar Rebbe, but the Torah writes it over here by the person who violated, because now he's more compounding it. In other words, not only did he went away from becoming a Nazir, but he also compounded it by violating his Nazirus. So he's got a lot of Avera there. All right, now let's take a look. Now, 5 lines to the bottom. Reb Lazar Omer, this is a different Reb Lazar. So Reb Lazar Kapar Berebi said, it's an Avera. Reb Lazar Omer, Mikra Kadosh. Reb Lazar says, no, he, the Nazir, is called Kadosh, holy. Shinemar Kadosh Yagadel Peres HaRosho. He'll be holy, and he'll grow his hair long. If a person only abstains from one thing, he's called a kadosh, like he is saintly. He says, so we have a machloket tonight. One Tana holds he's a chote, the other Tana holds he's a kadosh, diametrically opposed to one another. So the Gemara says, Shmuel, now Shmuel is the tzad that he's called the chote. Ha'ikri kadosh. So what does Shmuel do with the pasuk that Reb Lazar just mentioned when it's called kadosh? Ahu agilu perakoi. So Shmuel's saying that pasuk is talking about that the hair is kadosh. And Reb Leibowitz said it's the hair is asrabana. He takes the hair and he throws it into the fire underneath the pot that's cooking the zevach shlamim at the completion of his naziris. The hair is kadosh, not that he's kadosh. Reb Lazar hanikra chote. So, but according to the second opinion, that he's really, a kadosh, but what does he do with the pasuk that calls him a sinner? Ahu desayiv nafshe. He says that when a person is metame himself into a chote, but he's not metame himself, he's not called a chote. So at the end of the day, we have two opinions. Is the Nazir called a chote or called a kadosh? According to Reb Lazar Kapar Berebi, he's called a chote. According to Reb Lazar, he's called a kadosh. Now, the Gemara says, Umiyamar Reb Lazar Hafi, does Reb Lazar really say that he's called a kadosh? I'm a Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar says, "Ulam yamod adam atzmo." Turn page. Ki'ilu kadosh shavui b'toch mayav. That a person should always comport himself as if, now kadosh could mean like a kadosh baruch who's inside him, or is like his intestines are like inside his kadosh. Shneimor b'kir b'cha kadosh v'lo avo b'ir. So I can't do anything to weaken my guts, my intestines. So here he's saying that he's a kadosh. But Reb Lazar also says that a person has to comport himself means like I have a Kadosh Baruch Hu inside of me. So I have to be careful, you know, what I do with my body. So it doesn't sound like I'm a Kadosh with that thing. So the Gemara says, no kashya between the two statements of Reb Lazar. Hadamatzi the tzuri nafshe. If he's healthy and there's no problems and he can easily fast, then he's called a kadosh. Hadamatzi the tzuri nafshe. But if he's not in such great shape and he's fasting, then according to Reb Lazar, then that's bad. Then that's bad. Reish Lakish amar nikra chassid. Reish Lakish says that the nazir is called a chassid. He's even holier. Like a pious person, Shinemar Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed. That Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed, a person Gomel in the sense of weaning oneself. If a person's fasting, he's like weaning himself off of food and drink. Like Biyom Hi Gomel at Yitzchak. That's Rashi quotes that from his Rebbe. And again, the Rashi here, we said according to Maris Chayas, not really Rashi. He says Inami or Gosholim Tagmul Shemashli Nafsho Lekano. That he's mashlim nafsho lekono. He's behaving properly with his nefesh. He says so. Gomel ish nafsho ish chased bocher sheiro gomer. But if he afflicts himself, he's called cruel. So it means like this. Let's go slowly with this. So it means you have to say there's two different types of people. If he's healthy and he's able to fast, then he's called a chassid. That's according to Reish Lakish. But ocher she'iro v'gomer, but if he like weakens himself and he's not in such good shape, then that's not good. Give me 1 second. Let me take a quick peek. One second. One second. Yeah. So again, two pshats in Rashi are gomel to wean oneself from food, or gomel, he says here in the footnote, in the art scroll, give. So he's giving his soul to God by abstaining from food and drink. He's considered pious. Now, according to Rashi, Reish Lakish follows the opinion of Reb Lazar. So the first of the pasuk is one is able to fast, he's both pious. Second part of the pasuk is one is unable to suffer the afflictions, and he nonetheless attempts to do so, he's acting cruelly toward himself. Okay. Now,
and can then, you repeat why the Nazir is a chote?
Yeah. So we had in the Gemara, we had two opinions in the Gemara, whether the Nazir is called a chote or he's called a kadosh. That was machloket tanayim. So a chote, because he's abstaining from that which is in the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu puts things in this world, and we shouldn't unnecessarily, according to Reb Lazar, HaKapar Rebbe, we shouldn't try to abstain from things which, and it doesn't mean that I should overindulge, but with I'm entitled to indulge, you know, in things in the world, not cutting myself more than the mat. That's the way Reb Lazar Kapar Rebbe holds. And then Reb Lazar holds, he's called the Kadosh from doing it.
That I got. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I think that I didn't look at it today. I saw reference to it, but I think the Mesis Sharim says everybody has to judge like what he needs. You know, like everybody is in a different position, like in terms of creature comforts. So a person should try like not to overindulge in the world, but not to abstain too much from the world. So you have to kind of like, you know, judge the situation, and each person is different from every other person. Okay, now let me move on because I don't want to run out of time. Or let me pause for 1 second. Who's got questions, comments, anything we did so far? Everybody good?
All right.
Let me go further in the Gemara. Now we're on the fifth line on Yudalat Beis, 11b, line 5. 1, 2, 3. Line 6. Amar Rav Sheshet, Hai Bar Be'Rab Di'ate B'Tanita Le'Kul Kaba Shirute. Now, some say this line goes later on in the Gemara. Rav Sheshet says, if a Bar Be'Rab is a Talmid Chacham, if he's Yoshe B'Tanit, he's observing fast, Le'Kul Kaba Shirute, it's not good that he's doing the fast, because a dog should eat his portion of food, meaning it's as if by fasting, it's as if he doesn't have food to fast, because he's not in a position where he should be fasting, because he's not in such great shape. He says, if you look at the Rashi here is around the 10th hour line, Shirute Surato, Kabalechus Surato. Shirute means a Suda. A dog should be a Suda. Fasting doesn't help for him. It's like fasting, you don't have what to eat. In other words, he doesn't have so much food. He's not in such great shape. He shouldn't be the one to be fasting. That's what the Gemara is saying. Now, back to the Gemara. Amar B'Yirmi Bar-Abba, Ein Tanis Hibur B'Bav El Tishba B'Bav. Yirmi Bar-Abba says, there's no Tanis Hibur B'Bav El Tishba B'Bav. It means the full Tanis Hibur is a 24 or 25 hour fast, and the full Tanis Hibur are with all the Inuyim. So he's saying in Bavel, today, the only fast like that, other than Yom Kippur, is Tishbav. That's the only time. So Ein Tanis Hibur B'Bav El Tishba B'Bav. And here's the line in Taman Chacham, Rasha Ile Shebetan. Taman Chacham shouldn't observe a fast, because he's cutting back on Melechet Shemayim. Look at the Rashi. He'll be weakened and he won't be able to learn. So he shouldn't go into that whole thing. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? All right, moving on. We're at the two dots. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah that we had a series of fasts for lack of rain. So first we have just the Yechidim, the Chachamim were fasting, Monday, Thursday, and Monday. And then, but they could eat the night before, and they're not going to observe all the Inuyim, just going to observe eating and drinking. And then when they get to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so that's beginning with the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. But then if Rosh Chodesh Kislev comes and still no rain, so then the person goes there three taniyot, Monday, Thursday, Monday, where also people can eat the night before, and they're not observing all the inuyim, they're just avoiding eating and drinking. So the Gemara says, Ochlam shot mishach hashed chulei, so amrav zeira, amrav puna, yachet shkibila of tanid, apilu achal b'shotah kol alayla, l'machar m'pal tefillet on tanid. So he says that if a yachid, an individual, accepts upon himself a fast. Now, when you accept upon yourself a fast, usually at the mincha before the day, you put in your tefillah that tomorrow you're accepting upon yourself a fast. So if he accepts upon himself a fast, even if he eats and drinks the whole night, the next day he can say tefillah tanit. Now, tefillah tanit is anenu, so it means he can say anenu. Now, he said in the art scroll, it means he can even say anenu in the marid before. In other words, he'll say anenu in all the tefillot of the day, and even though he's eating the night before, he'll say it. Now, the sheet of the Gaonim is, we Ashkenazim only say anenu. Now, Sephardim, I think, say anenu with Shacharis. We Ashkenazim, if it's a Tanit Sibur, only the Sibur says anenu with Shacharis. And then we say anenu at Mincha, because based on the sheet of the Gaonim, and the Gaonim hold that you don't want to say it's Yom Tzom Tani Tenu, I may have to break my fast. So if I get to Mincha, I mean, it's for most of the day. So we're afraid, like, you know, Shemiyach was in a bulmos, like he'll have ravenous hunger. But Mithad Adin, the way Machaber Paskins, you say anenu to all the Tfilot. Now, Lan Betani To, now the next line of the Gemara is Lan Betani To, let's say, on Monday afternoon Mincha, he accepted upon himself to fast on Tuesday. And then Tuesday he fasts, and then after nightfall, instead of breaking his fast, he decides to continue on with the fast. So the next morning, even though he's still fasting, he won't say tefillah tzanenu anymore. He won't say tzanenu because he didn't accept it upon himself to fast. But we'll see. So Amar Rav Yosef, Mike Savar Rav Huna. Rav Yosef, what's Rav Huna's thinking? Why can I not say tzanenu the next day? Shai is still with us. Why can I not say tzanenu the next day? He says, Mike Savar Rav Huna, is it that he holds, like just doing hours doesn't constitute a fast? In other words, if I do a day, it's a fast, but I'm just doing a couple more hours, not. Or maybe he holds, no, a person could accept upon himself a unit to fast for hours, but I can't say anenu yom samanitenu if I'm just doing hours fasting. So that's his question. That's what we're supak on what Rav Huna was thinking, because Rav Huna said that Lan Batani To, Inum and Palo Shaltani. So Amar Lay, so um, So who's talking? Abaye Abaye. So Abaye, sister of Yosef, the only suffer of Hunam Itan Shaur, but it's not Shaur in Palestine Itani. So Abaye says it's neither A nor B, it's C. The Rav Huna holds a person could accept upon himself a fast of hours, and he holds that a person who fasts for hours does say Tfilat Anenu, Tfilat Tani. B'shani Hacha, Dikashau Delelya, Lokia Bilemi Ikara. In other words, here, he never accepted upon himself that he was going to fast that night. In other words, he just, like on a lark, decided to continue the fast. So he can't say Anenu. If he had been the Kabbalah upon himself, we'll see later on in the Gemara, that he's going to fast extra hours, then he could say Anenu, but just on his own, that he's voluntarily going, he can't do it. Now, the Gemara says, Mar Ukba Ikla L'Ginzik. Mar Ukba came to this location called Ginzik. Ba'omine, they asked him a series of questions. Mitan L'Shaud or Mitan L'Shaud? Is a person, is there like a halakhic concept of accepting upon yourself a fast for hours or not? Lo haba biyadeh. He wasn't able to answer the question. Shai is still with us, Shai, okay? He says, Kankanim shal nafrim asurim mutarim. Let's say I have the earthenware vessels of Goyim, and they had their wine in it, which is, you know, Yayin Nesech, and now the wine has been out of it for a year. So can I use the vessels or not? Lo haba biyadeh. He wasn't able to answer that question either. Now, during the Shivat Miluim, so Moshe Rabbeinu was erecting and taking down the Mishkan for 7 days. According to most Mepharshim, it means 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? So beginning on the 23rd of Adar, so he was erecting and taking down the Mishkan. And then when Rosh Chodesh Nisan came, so at the end of Adar, and then Rosh Nisan came, he wrecks it and he leaves it for good. So during that period of time, Aaron and his sons, you know, were being invested, but they weren't entitled to the Avodah yet. So Moshe Rabbeinu was serving as a type of Kohen during that period of time. So what was he wearing? I mean, he was not wearing the Big Day Kahuna, but it doesn't make sense he's wearing his Big Day Chol. So Lahava B'yadi, he wasn't able to answer that question. And there's a lot of Kabbalah, he's Mar Ukva. Even though there's a gadol door, they ask him questions. You say you don't know. You don't say you don't know. That's siman of a tamach chacham. So azal b'shalal b'medrusha. The next siman of a tamach chacham, he doesn't look in a Jewish newspaper. He doesn't go on the internet. He goes to the base medrash to get the answer. He goes to the base medrash. So azal b'shalal b'medrusha. Amrulay, they sent him the base medrash. Hilchot tamatan shaur with problems with the tani. First halacha is that a person is glad to accept upon himself a fast for hours and say Tfilat Anenu during that fast, that we'll see more. And then if I have the earthenware vessels that they use for their non-kosher wine, if it's been left empty for 12 months, I'm allowed to use it, though, you know, I wouldn't rush and do something like that. It is, that's, this concept is used in halacha sometimes with people who have china, but there's more to explain about that. He says, and then Bamashi Mesh Moshe Kol Shivat Yimei Miluim. What did Moshe Rabbeinu? What was he wearing during the Shivat Yimei Miluim? B'chaluk Laban. He was wearing a white gown. Rav Kahana Matni B'chaluk Laban Shein Limra. So Rav Kahana learns it was a white gown Shein Limra, no hem in it. There was nothing sewn like a hem, so the people shouldn't be choshesh. Let's look at Rashi. The last Rashi. B'chaluk Laban Shein Bo Imra. 2 lines from the bottom. Safa, Matargamin on Imra. So Safa, which means like a hem, the Targum is Imra, the Aramaic translation. Klomar, and let's look at the Bach. He says, yeah. So well, on the side I'm going to go, Klomar, Arug, Hayam, Echurachad, Kolachaluk. It was woven with one like thread. The Loki began Shalanish, Batei, Hayadayim, the Dubakim, Beged, not like our garments where the sleeves are sewn on. So people shouldn't suspect that he's got like a pocket in there or something where he's stashing the money. In other words, like the Kodim, you know, they wouldn't go into the Lishka with garments that have a hem or pockets or things like that. So people wouldn't suspect him of stealing money. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the bottom line, Amar Rav Chisda, the top line now on your base of an aleph. Amar Rav Chisda, Haza Ami B'Tan in the Shano, Hu Shlo Tam Klom Ara Ered. He says, that when we said that you came into on l'shaot, so we think the pshat is like this, that he either, let's say, he gets up in the morning and he's not eating, and then at noon he says, I'm going to fast the rest of the day. That's what Rav Chisda thinks in Mitan of the Shabbat. So the Siyot say he's fasting the whole day. It's just he didn't formally accept as a fast. In other words, he got up in the morning, just didn't eat anything. Then at 12 noon, he decides, I'm going to fast the rest of the day. I'm going to fast. That's one way. Or he accepted upon himself to fast, let's say, till 12 noon. And then he decided, I'm going to continue to fast the whole day. That's what we think. So that's what Rav Chisda thinks. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says Rav Chisda, Atani Ma'ali Tahi, that is a regular fast. Says Lo Tzmicha De Imlechem Luchay. So means that he. One second. Let me get this straight. One second. Right. So I jumped the gun a little bit with this. In other words, like Rav Chisda says, like you have to fast the whole day. So Abaye says, but that's a regular fast. So Lo Tzricha De'imlich Luchay, he changed his mind, and like at midday, he decides to complete the fast. So even though the first part of the day wasn't observed as a fast, the remainder day, which is a fast, is considered a valid partial fast. Okay, now, let me just do a few things with you, and then this. Yeah, so okay, what's up, Rafi? So if it's a Tanis Yachid, I think you do say Aneinu, yeah. You do say Aneinu, because we'll look at the Shulchan Aruch out and we'll just go to check that. But I think Tanis Yachid, you do say Aneinu. One second. Yeah. He says, right. Right. You do say Aneinu. Okay. Yeah, so we assume that I think like the Gemara and the conclusion said that it depends on your situation. If you're able to do it, and the same thing with again, like the Mrs. Sharon was saying, with things that are in this world. So in other words, again, it depends on where the person is, things like that. I shouldn't be over indulgent, and I shouldn't be over abstemious. All right, now let me just do a few things.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Thank you. What is the significance of Aneinu vis-a-vis the fasting? Is that considered? How important is it vis-a-vis the fasting?
Well, in other words, the only thing I would say is like when it's a fast, so the Chamim or Mitake and the special tefillah say that, it's today's Yom Tzom and we want you to answer us on this Yom Tzom.
How long this Tzom is going to last, or maybe I ditch the Aneinu and still do the Tzom.
In other words, in Halakha, fast isn't just I got up, I'm fasting the day. Like there's a special thing. I'm accepting upon myself the fast. And then once I accept upon myself the fast, so then the day gets a certain dinim that go with it. And part of the dinim is I say Aneinu. That's the best I would say with that. All right. We're running out of time. I apologize. Let me get this other thing here. All right, I'll just do a story. And any other questions here? Everybody good? Okay, let me just do a story. And again, Blee Netter, I'll be giving daf tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Okay, now, someone once asked Rav Shmuel Avram Shapiro of Slavita why the prevalent custom is not to fast voluntarily. If a person feels that he can tolerate fasting, why shouldn't he? Especially the Gemara in Tanis and the law concludes that one who can tolerate extra fasting is indeed considered holy. It is only one who cannot tolerate such additional fast who is considered a sinner. The Rebbe replied, my grandfather, Rebbe Pinchas of Koritzitzal, something which answers your question quite well. He explained that sometimes the word goy, Gentile, can be read as body, like gevia, as in the Hebrew word gevia. This is one way to explain the verse in Tehillim, and Ru lechubin achi demi goy, luzacher shem yisraelot. And Ru refers to, oh, this is too complicated. I'm going to leave the whole thing. Okay, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Okay,
One thing.
Yeah, go ahead quickly, yeah.
No, I was going to say that in today's daf we said that the chutzit is bigger than a kodesh, but we had a little while back. I think we had that the kodesh is bigger than a chutzit.
This I don't know. In the Gemara, there's a tzaddik and a chassid, so I know among the chassidim, the tzaddik's on a higher level.
The chassid is bigger than a tzaddik, but we had reversed.
Right. That's the way I think they had it in the art scroll. Okay, now. Again, learning today was Louis Neshama, Barry Pizer's mother. Okay, let me end the recording.